The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And Merry Christmas as well. It is good to have you in the Lord's house this night as we celebrate the birth of our Lord in the flesh for our lessons and carol service. Note that the first hymn is printed there in the bulletin for you, as well as the final two hymns. The best way for us to minimize wax spillage all over everything is to have as little as possible. So for the final two hymns, all you will need is your bulletin. And as well, when the ushers come by, all lit candles, please leave them upright. Your unlit candles, tip those into the flame to light them as well as you pass it down the aisles. Other than that, the service is all here, all printed, all ready to go. Let's rise and sing. A reading from St. Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. What are you doing here? You can hear the exasperation in Joseph's voice. The place is crowded. Mary just gave birth. Everybody's worn out. And there's a knock at the door. A shepherd tries to peek in. Is he here? Can we see him? The angels told us to come. He's only one of several smelly, unkempt shepherds that want to crowd in to see the newborn. What are you doing here? More of a demand now. Why have you come? Who do you want to see? What angel? Mary had heard the words of Gabriel. The new life in her womb grew. She knew why she was pregnant. She knew who the baby was. She knew what he would do. But there was, likely, that little bit of nagging doubt in the back of her mind. Joseph, he'd been visited too. He had the same doubts, though, in the back of his mind. Really? Is this really how it's supposed to be? Is this how my married life is really supposed to start? Now, here he stands, defensive, ready to protect his young wife and the newborn that he's responsible for. And what's crowding in the doorway? Shepherds. Scoundrels. Nobody willingly lets shepherds into their house. These guys are notorious for their less than honorable character. Not only do they smell like their stupid charges, the sheep, but they've been known to abandon their posts at the first sign of danger. These aren't the kind of people you let near a newborn, especially this one. What kind of nefarious plans might they have for the baby and his mother? I mean, really, since when do shepherds trek through the dark of night to visit a newborn with good intentions? So Joseph's internal dialogue is in high gear. What do they want? Why are they here? Can't people just leave us alone? Mary needs her rest. And then he catches it. The words of the babbling, exuberant shepherds. The angels sent us. And the light comes on. Oh, that's why they're here. Because this isn't just a baby. This isn't just any newborn. This baby, this son, he isn't just a son. He's so much more. He isn't mine, but he is mine. He's my God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior, even though I can hold him in my hands. And maybe it's right about then that it hits Joseph. This is my Savior. This is our Savior. He's mine as much as he is theirs. And so the door is thrown open and the shepherds crowd inside, and Mary's awakened from her postpartum slumber by the excited voices. And they gather round the feed trough where the baby lays. They look on in wonder and in amazement at their Lord and their God and their Savior. So as a modern-day Joseph of sorts, I see you crowding in tonight and ask, what are you doing here? Why are you out traipsing around after dark on this rainy winter night? Did you come to see the baby? Or are you here for something else? Were you dragged here against your will? Was there something more important to be doing tonight rather than to come here and see the baby? Did you come to keep the family peace? Did you come just to raise the candle and belt out Silent Night? Are those the best reasons you can come up with? Everything but the baby? Those reasons don't fly here. If you didn't come to see the baby, have you forgotten the scope of the gift sent to you in crowded Bethlehem? It's interesting to note what the shepherds didn't do after the angels left them. They didn't go around looking for independent corroboration of the story. They didn't consult experts about what they heard. They didn't check the DVR for Mysteries of the Bible episodes they missed. They didn't ask themselves or each other if they wanted or even needed a Savior. And they certainly didn't say, I need to ask this baby into my heart before he'll be my Savior. They just said, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, there might have been one or two of them who doubted if it weren't for the angel standing right there in front of them. But they all had the same idea when they took off across the fields where they were keeping watch over their flocks that night. And gathering around the manger, that wasn't some sort of service to God. They weren't there to try and earn something. They weren't there to keep anybody happy. They weren't there for brownie points. They came to worship their God and their Lord. St. Luke says that after they left, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. They didn't all run off to the seminary right away to become apostles and pastors. They went back to their fields, back to their jobs. But still, something was different. They were still shepherds, but they were shepherds who proclaimed God's word as they were able. They spoke of their Savior even as they watched over their sheep. What are you doing here? Have you come to see the baby? Are you here to worship your Savior? Did you leave home tonight to see the child who has come to you and for you? Because this child is so much more than just a baby in a manger. This child is God's own Son in the flesh. God in the flesh, who came into the world that He created through Mary's womb. And by His suffering and death, and by His shed blood, He has made right every bit of your lives. The good and the bad, the pleasant and the parts that you'd rather forget. And He gives you not only the gift of Himself, but everything else that you have in this life. This child gives you your salvation. He gives you your forgiveness. He gives you your redemption. This child gives you your faith. He gives you your hope. He gives you your trust. This child gives you your family and your friends, your income. This child has given you your place in this earthly life. And this child has made each Christian an angelic messenger of sorts, because He's placed in your lives shepherds who are waiting to hear your angelic message. To you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Make known the saying that has been told you concerning this child. Make it known in your life by visiting the baby here, often as he grows into the man who dies for you. The shepherds were given such a tremendous gift, being among the first to see Almighty God in the flesh, their Savior. And are the gifts that you've been given by your Lord anything less than that? No, because you've heard the angelic message, which is just as much for you as it was for those shepherds, that to you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So run to the manger and see that same Christ, your Lord, not wrapped in swaddling cloths now, but wrapped in bread and wine, which is His body, His blood, for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. So run back to the manger tomorrow morning with us. Let us gather in the glorious light of Christmas Day to receive His gift given upon the manger of this altar once again. And then return to your fields, glorifying and praising God for all that you have seen and heard, as it has been told you. In the name of Jesus, amen.